Thank you, ladies. It's a great word and song. Without Him, how lost we would be. Amen. All right, so y'all take y'all's copy of the revelation you brought with you today and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Paul is obviously answering some questions that the church at Corinth had asked him, and we see a progression in that where he says, for an example, he uses that word, now concerning this and concerning that, concerning this question and that question and what you asked here. So, what you got, Pam? Good deal, good deal, good deal. Those principles from Wednesday night are on there. Matter of fact, if you're on, I think it's got a link on Facebook as well. If you're on Facebook, you can link up to it, and it'll go right there, which is the idea of, you know, what, how to recover from disqualifying yourself. We looked at Psalm 37, and we looked in running that race, that nobody can run that race for us, but how God gives us some help on doing that. So I'd encourage you to look it up. I think it would be a blessing to you, as Pam and several others have already said. It would help you in just everyday life of just living with those principles at mind. Anybody else have anything? Brother Shannon, you was about to say something a minute ago.
Well, the idea is that we are all one body here, but we have many gifts. But love is the key, the glue that glues all it together. And that we stand together, stay together, and love each other together.
Right, right.
We'll be a strong body.
Yes, and that's how Paul addresses that. There were some issues going on at Corinth that were not in line with the Spirit of God. They asked him about the gifts of the Spirit. So Paul is addressing that, and he gets to the root of the problem in chapter 14. We hadn't made it there yet. Some of you probably have already read in it. But Paul deals with what I refer to the misuse of the gifts, that they were misusing them. And the reason they were misusing them is because they wasn't measuring the gifts out properly with love, as Brother Shannon is pointing out. That's what chapter 13 is about. That's how you measure the gifts. That's the motivation of the gifts. Or the love of God. If God's love, if grace is not at work in us, pulling and drawing and at work producing this kind of love and the kind of faith and the kind of hope Paul's talking about, we'll find that no matter what gifts we have, they're not going to be beneficial nor profitable for us if they're not measured out and motivated by love. That's why Paul does such a great job, some great insight on us. When you deal with an issue in somebody's life, you ever had to deal with problems? You ever had to deal with problems with other people? Anybody ever had to deal with problems with you? Well, Paul was dealing with a problem, and this is how he dealt with it. Chapter number 12, and I know we've covered these things before, and you probably have got notes on them yourself already in your scripture somewhere. But chapter 12, Paul says that there is a legitimate ministry of the gifts of the Spirit. That God has a purpose and a priority to gift His body for a specific reason. And these gifts are legit. That is the ministry of the Spirit of God in the body of Christ. So we see chapter 12 is dealing with the ministry of the gifts. Chapter 13 is dealing with the motive of the gifts or how to measure those gifts. And chapter 14 is dealing with the misuse of the gifts. So he uses some great strategy and tact in doing this, in the sense that he didn't immediately go in and knock them upside the head and said, this is what you're doing wrong. He set a precedent of what God does and why God does what He does. Then he said, this is how you can measure that by love. And he said, this is where you've gone wrong in it. which is a great way to address a problem. Not going to the problem first, but showing what God has given, what God is doing, and how God works, how then we can look at how God works in our life through love, and then if we've misused something or done it the wrong way, then deal with the problem, because you go back to the basis of the foundation of the standard when you look at the problem. Instead of dealing with a problem with no standard, then that becomes personal opinion. But when you lay the standard out first, then how you can look at that standard God's way, and then when the standard's not being met, then you have a measuring line to go by, like a plummet to go by, and it's just a great way to deal with issues in your own personal life and to deal with people that you're around on a consistent basis, is that we have to be careful with going straight to the problem and addressing the problem without really giving a legitimate standard of a thing. Because we want people to see that, hey, God has a way He works. And that it's to profit all in the body. It's to build up the body. And that is what we want to be seeing. And if we're not seeing that, and people are becoming individualistic and getting attention, they deviated from the standard. And when you deviate from the standard, the reason is you've deviated from love. And when you've done that, you've missed the whole mark with God. It's not going to benefit you. Can God still use what you did in somebody else's life? Of course, God can take something bad out of us and turn it into something good in somebody else's life. But it has no value to me to bring glory to Him. Amen? And we want to be in a position where not only are we building up the body, but as we build up the body, we're doing it for God's glory. And we are benefited from that. We are rewarded for that. Look in chapter 10. Look in chapter 10. This is just a great standard to go by. Chapter number 10. Paul deals with some issues about eating. Remember, he's talking about people who are asking in regards to what about meat and drink that's been sacrificed to idols. How do we deal with that? Well, Paul starts out the chapter simply saying, look, we know in the kingdom of God there's only one God. Everything else is false and a lie. We have that knowledge. So there are no other gods that people are sacrificing to. They just have a misunderstanding of that. But the people that are sacrificing that don't realize that. And you can become a stumbling block in your liberty and freedom. And Paul was teaching them that, hey, it may be possible you can do some things in life and have the liberty to do it, but what you're doing and how you're doing it may not be profitable for your brother. So whatever you do, look in 10:23, this is where he draws it back from. If we will operate with this motive in our own life, if this would be the mindset, 10:31 says, therefore, this is the conclusion of it. Whatever you do, whether you eat or whether you drink or whatever else you do, do it to all the glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
That's not going to keep you from making mistakes. But it's sure going to keep you in line and doing what you do to bring glory to God. And when you're in position to bring glory to God, the mistakes and things you do, God is going to bring that to light in due time, and He's going to use people, because you're in a meek, humble position. God's going to use people to help correct you consistently in everyday life. So you're going to be in a great position to be a blessing to people, because you can anticipate to bring glory to God in something, but you may be walking in an untruth, even trying to bring glory to Him, just because you haven't been exposed to the truth at that point about a particular matter. But when it's your heartbeat to bring glory to God by blessing your brother and encouraging him and unveiling the truth to the world we live in, when you're not operating in that, God has a way of getting a brother to you to get you right, so that what you are doing is according to His grace, it is according to His truth, and it does bring glory to Him. And I'm thankful for that. Amen? Because we're all are a work in progress. We're all growing in grace. And what grace is doing is setting us free from the lies that we once held to. That can only be exposed by truth. And when God exposes it, He's going to expose it through people who He's given insight and wisdom to help correct us in our journey to get us on track and to stay on track with Him. And when it's my heartbeat to do whatever I do to bring glory to Him, I'm not going to let food nor things nor people manipulate me to do something that would be a hindrance to them if I did it, because my goal is to bring glory to Him by being a blessing to you.
Amen?
Amen? So we want to be cautious to that. Paul was basically saying if it came down to it, he would be rather willing to give up something that he had liberty to have if it meant being a blessing to his brother. He didn't want to cause anybody to be a stumbling block. And that's just a great way to live and to think, that you're thinking about other people in light of bringing them to the glory of God. So 10:31, whatever you do, whatever you drink, whatever you eat, do it all for the glory of God. Do it for Him. Amen? Do it for Him. The result, don't intentionally give no offense either to the Jews or the Greek or to the church of God. Verse 33, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Paul said, I want to get myself out of the picture here. I don't want to do things. Not that he was a men pleaser. You got to keep that in mind. He didn't live to please men. He lived to please God. And as a result, he thought about where men were so that he can get men to Jesus. That's what he's saying there. He was not a man pleaser. He didn't do what he did to get applause from men. He did what he did to get men to applause God.
Amen.
Are you with me? There's a difference there.
Yes.
He didn't do what he did to get the applause of men. He did what he did to put men in position to applause God, to give God glory. And that is a world of difference. That means sometimes you're not going to be accepted or well-liked in those situations. Now, in chapter number 11, there were some questions in regard to the role in with men and women and the head coverings of women and how important that is for an order and design that both men and women, the whole objective of the kingdom of God for men and women is to bring glory to the Lord. That's the whole point that he's making there. To bring glory to God. The woman honors her man, not to bring attention to her man, but that the attention given to her man will bring attention and glory to God. Because God is the head over the man. And when they see the man, they see the glory of God upon the man. That's the whole point. Or man wasn't created for woman, woman was created for man. He's taking us back to creation. Remember when God created Adam and Eve? And Adam needed a helpmeet. So God brought him all the animals, Rusty. He brought him the deer, and he brought him the cows, and he brought him the beast, and he brought him everything. And he didn't find anything suitable for him. There was nothing to be a helpmeet that could be suitable. So what did God do to Adam? He put him to sleep, took from his side, and from him he created a woman, Eve. And that woman was created for him, to be a helpmeet, a complement to him, to be a partner with him. But then Paul balances it out and says, look, but no man has come in this world except through a woman. A woman is the one who birthed men. Are you with me? So he's saying the proper balance is that the woman is to be covered. And the reason she's covered is because she's the glory of a man. And man is not to receive the glory. That's why she's covered. So the man don't receive the glory. It goes back to the man, but then the man reflects the glory of God. That's the whole part of it, is that this is all to bring glory to God. Amen?
Amen.
And then he says, if that's a problem with people, look at verse number 16, but if anyone seems to be contentious, rebellious to these teachings that I'm referring to, that they have a bad spirit toward all this. He just said, we don't have any custom, nor do the churches of God. He's basically saying that if you have a problem with all these things, we really don't have a solution or an answer to that, other than just think about what you do and the way you think, and just consider living your life for the glory of God. It's just taking it back to that again. And he goes on in to chapter number 12. And in chapter number 12, that's where he starts out. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. And then he begins to list these things, like in verse number 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences. The word diversities and difference are the same word. So in verse 4, 5, and 6, when he talks about the distinctions or the differences, that's the same exact word in each one of those phrases. There are distinctions and differences of gifts. There are distinctions and differences of ministries. And there are distinctions and differences of operations or activities or workings. But in all those, the gifts come from the Spirit, the ministries come from the Lord, and the work or the operation comes from God who works all in all. So if anything's going to happen, it needs to happen of grace. That is simply saying God's in it. Amen? The Spirit is the one who gifts men according to His will. There are diversities of gifts. The gifts are diverse. I mean, we don't create gifts. The Spirit gifts us. And we have the presence of God. If you've got the presence of God in you, think about this for a moment. The Scripture says God has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. If God lives in you, you have the capacity within you of every gift.
Amen.
Because the one who gives the gifts living in you. And if the one's living in you that gives the gifts, you got the capacity for all those gifts. But the Spirit manifests the gifts as He wills.
Yeah.
For a particular purpose.
Yeah.
And that's why we yield over to God and say, God, You could bring out whatever gift You choose to bring out, whenever You choose to bring it out, for Your good, for our benefit in the body, and for Your glory. But because you have God living in you, because you've been born again, bought by the blood, God's made His home inside of you by the presence of the Holy Spirit in you, you have the capacity for every single gift, but you may never manifest all those gifts. Why? Because usually what happens is God sets you apart to be gifted in a particular area, one thing that He's going to bring out so that you could be a blessing to the rest of the body, and the rest of the body could be a blessing to you. Amen?
Amen.
Not because you had a passion for them, not because you willed it to happen, that these things are manifested. This is at the will of the Spirit that it is manifested.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes.
We put ourselves in position for God to do with us whatever He wants. Look at a couple passages in here, and He says exactly that. Look in verse number 11. Verse 11 says, but one and of the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as the Spirit what?
Wills.
So this is of the will of God. And the Spirit never works outside, Hunter, of the will of God. This is in tandem with what the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are doing in the body. Also, look in verse number 7. Verse 7 says, the unveiling or the manifestation, that which is brought to light of the Spirit, is given to each one for what purpose? For the profit of all. Not one gift is the benefit just you. The gifts are given, Rusty, to benefit everybody.
Amen.
It's for the profit of all. That's why God brings it to light. That's why He manifests the gift. Everybody in the body has a particular set of unique gifting by the Spirit. Even though they have all of them, the Spirit wills to manifest to each one for the profit of all. Whatever God gives me in a teaching gift is to benefit the body of Christ. To bless the body of Christ. And look in verse number 18. Verse number 18 says, "But now God has set," that word "set" means to be put in place. God divinely placed the members of the body of Christ, each one of them in the body, just as He what? You wasn't put in the body of Christ in a particular position because you asked for it, or because that's what you wanted, or because somebody else said you ought to be in that place. God has strategically and divinely placed us in the body as He pleased.
Yes.
Thank God. Amen. You have been placed where you are because it pleased God to put you where you are. Amen.
Amen.
To be the part of the body that you play. Look in verse number 28. Verse 28 says, "And God has, not only has He strategically placed you, but within that placement, God has appointed, divinely ordained, these in the church." We talked about this Wednesday evening. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, and then gifts of healing, helps, administration, variety of tongues. And then he goes in to say, wait, now let's just be logical about this. Let's just really look at it. Are all apostles? What's the answer?
No.
Are all prophets?
No.
Are all teachers?
No.
Are all workers of miracles?
No.
Do all have gift of healings?
No.
Do all speak with tongues?
No.
Do all interpret?
No.
But earnestly desire the best gifts, the more useful gifts. And then Paul says, yet I'll show you even a more excellent, superior way. And that's where chapter 13 leads into the superior, excellent way is looking at it through the measure of love.
Amen.
It's how you keep it all straight.
Yes.
It's how you keep it all straight with love. So what did we see in chapter number 12? We see that the gifts were given to profit everybody.
Amen.
In the body. What do we see? That this working of the gifts works in us as the Spirit wills. So this is the will of God at work. Verse 18 taught us that God divinely placed us in the body of Jesus as He pleased. So we fill in the part that it pleased Him. And then verse 28 tells us that God has ordained or strategically appointed us as a gift to the body to be in a certain place with a certain gifting to be able to profit everybody.
Yes.
Now, let me give you a couple other passages and we'll look at these tonight. Romans chapter 12. In Ephesians chapter 4.
Amen.
Romans 12 and Ephesians 4 bring out some other gifts that Paul didn't highlight in Corinthians, but he's going to tell us, and we're going to see in those passages several things come together. Anytime the Spirit of God is at work within us, God is at work within us, gifting us, there's several things that's always going to be involved. Obviously, the grace of God has to be at work if it's going to be of God. The giftings are going to be manifested for the profit of all. Thirdly, we're going to see faith is going to be involved because whatever we do, we're going to do it in proportion to faith, and that means in proportion to what we've heard from God. Remember, there is no walking blindly in faith in the kingdom of God. To walk by faith, you've got to hear from God. Amen?
Amen.
So God's going to speak whatever that is. If you got a gift of foretelling of the Word of God, you speak according to what you heard from God. You reveal what you heard from God. That's what you tell. And that is, God spoke, you heard, then you revealed what God revealed to you. It's all going to be by faith. That's going to be involved. The other thing that you're going to see is you're always going to see the dynamic of hope. You're going to be rejoicing in hope. Why? Because you know that what's happening in these gifts is God is elevating and building up His body. You can see it at work. You can see it happening. And then the fifth thing is love is always going to be involved in it. Love is always going to be involved in it if God's involved in it.
Come on.
And that kind of love that we're talking about is a love that's not going to fail you.
Amen.
It's not going to fail. Not all love is equal.
Yeah.
Not all love is eternal or has everlasting results to it. That which is eternal, everlasting, has to have its origin in God for it to be what 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about. So in Ephesians, we're going to see that God gives us these gifts as He pleases, as He wills. He's appointed them so that we can all be built up and become a mature body in Christ Jesus. That's going to be the whole objective of it, is to build up the body. Not to draw attention to the one using the gift, but to build up the body and bring the glory to God. Amen?
Amen.
Every single time. And the body is growing and growing and growing so that the body is not tossed and turned with every deceptive and trickery turn. Ephesians 4 is going to bring that out for us, of why God's doing what He's doing and how He's doing it and the purpose behind doing it. And we really need to know this, and I think it's going to be very beneficial for us as we explore it tonight with the light of these things in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Amen?
Amen.
Who's the resource of the gift? God is. What's the reason of the gift? To be manifested. And what is the result of the gift? To build one another up. Amen?
Amen.
To build one another up. Father, we thank You today that we can trust You, that You know exactly what You're doing with us and in us. We know that You have a purpose in gifting us the way that You have within our fellowship, and not just our fellowship, but Your body universally all over the world. That You are at work within us. There are many different kinds of service and ministries, different gifts and different works and operations, but You are the one working all in all of Your people. And we want to give You the praise for it. We just simply want to be in position to bring glory to You. And thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.